you are able, that you are there, that you are guiding and directing. That, Lord, we just have to be willing. We have to be that fertile soil, Lord, for you to work with. Father, I just thank you. I just pray, Lord, that you are glorified in our lives, in our homes, in this church, Lord, in this church body. Father, I just pray right now that you be with Chad in this message, Lord, that you have sent. I just pray, Lord, that we come ready to receive it. That, Lord, it would not return to you empty, but as you have designed it. Be glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, our kickoff today is for the 40 Days in the Word campaign, which is an opportunity for us to grow closer to God in our understanding of the Bible and how to study the Bible and how we can discuss that and grow and learn from each other. And so I'm excited that we are starting today. Now, our small groups will actually start after next Sunday, February 5th, after the message series, after the message sermon on that Sunday, then the groups will study. And if you have not had an opportunity to sign up to be a part of a group, we want to encourage you to do so. We have 200 plus people signed up so far to participate, which is excellent, but I know that there are still many more of you who have not had the opportunity, or who have not yet, or maybe you've been sitting on the fence of whether you're going to participate in this. My goal, set out from the very beginning, is that we would have 100% participation. If this is your church home, if you call this Ellisville Christian Church your church, we want everyone to be a part of it. You may be visiting for the first time today. We want you to be a part of it. We're glad you're here. It doesn't matter if you're brand new or if you've been here for many years. This is so important, I believe, that we want everyone to be involved. The 40 Days in the Word campaign is material that has been developed by Rick Warren and the Saddleback Community Church leadership team. And we're going to be partnering with over 4,000 other churches in doing this series for the next 6 weeks. And so before we get into the message time today, I want to share with you a video from Rick Warren, and he's going to explain a little bit about the thought and process behind it and give you a brief description of what we're going to study and learn over the next 6 weeks.
Well, welcome to the kickoff for 40 Days in the Word. We're going to begin it in another week, but this weekend I want to give you an introduction to where we're going as a team as we go through this 40 Days in the Word together. Now, I want to welcome not only all of our 9 campuses, our Saddleback campuses, but I also want to welcome 4,500 other sister churches who we're all joining together in this study together. So let's welcome the 4,500 other churches. Hi, you guys. Thank you. We're glad to be working on this with you together. Now, as I said, today I just want to give you a little introduction on where we are going as churches together. My goal is that we will learn to love the Word, learn the Word, and live out the Word during these next 40 days. Now, if you've never been a part of one of the spiritual growth campaigns that we do every year here at Saddleback, there are 4 key components. There's a sermon component, there's a small group component, there is a daily devotional component, and there is a scripture memory component. And then we also have projects that are things that we do to actually practice what we are learning. So let me kind of take you where we're going for the next few weeks. The next 6 weekends, we're going to look at a different aspect of the Bible. And I and all of these other pastors are going to be teaching on the same text and the same topics. The first thing we're going to look at is the inspiration of the Bible. How can I trust the Bible? How do I know the Bible is true and that I can trust it for my life? Inspiration. Then week 2, we're going to look at the foundation of the Bible. What is the purpose of the Bible? And we're going to get you to see the big picture of the Scriptures. What is the overarching theme, and what are the purposes of the Bible? You know, it's 66 books in one book, so it's really a library, but they all point to the same basic theme. Week 3, we're going to look at the illumination of the Bible, and that is, how does God illuminate my mind so I can see what he wants me to see in the Bible? Sometimes you read a scripture and you can read it over and over, and It doesn't seem to hit you, and then one day you read it and go, boom, wow, I've never seen that before. What happened? The Holy Spirit just illuminated your mind. And we're going to talk to you about how He does that and helps you see what He wants you to see out of the Word. Then week number four, we're going to look at interpretation, a very important week, and that is, how do I know what this verse means? Because a lot of times you hear people say, well, that's just your interpretation, as if everybody can have their own particular interpretation of a verse. Actually, there are correct ways to interpret the Bible, and there are incorrect ways. When you interpret it correctly, you get what God says. When you interpret it incorrectly, you become a cult. And you get all kinds of weird and wacky ideas. The Bible means what it means. And you have to understand these principles of interpretation. Then week number five, we're going to look at integration of the Bible. And that is, how do I put the Bible in every area of my life? How do I use the Bible at work? And how do I use it in my home? And how do I integrate it into my family life? And how do I integrate it into my finances and every different area, my past, my present, my future? Then finally, week six, we're going to look at the application of the Bible, and that is specifically how to use the Bible in specific ways, like how to use the Bible to make good decisions. We're going to look at that. How do you use the Bible to overcome temptation? How do you use the Bible to counsel or offer advice to a friend? How do you use the Bible to find comfort for yourself? It's going to be a very, very exciting series on the weekends that I and all of these pastors will be teaching. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. The next element of 40 days are the 40-day devotionals, where every day you'll take about 5 minutes a day and have a little devotional time with God about the Word. Now, in the past, as you know, we've often put these devotionals in a book. In fact, the book Purpose Driven Life was the devotional book that I wrote for 40 Days of Purpose. And we had a devotional book for 40 Days of Community. And we've had lots of devotional books. This time, we're going high-tech. And what I did is I went out and I got 40 of the top Bible teachers in the nation, well-known pastors, to videotape a short devotional on the Word. And so we're going to have video devotionals for the 40 days. And what you do is you send me, you can go to 40 Days in the Word or 40DITW.com, and you register there, and then you tell us whether you want it by text or notification by text or by email. And every day I'm going to send you a link that you can click on and then watch a little short 4 or 5 minute video by top Bible teachers that will help you get deeper and deeper into the Word of God. That's element number two. Element number three is the most important part of 40 days, which is our small group studies. Now, I'm so excited about these studies. I actually videotaped these studies, put them on a DVD 6 months ago. We've been preparing for this for really over a year. And in these 40 days of the Word, we're going to cover 6 sessions. And I'm going to teach you in these sessions how to study the Bible for yourself. So you're not dependent upon anybody else. You don't have to look to me or anybody else to figure out what a verse means or how to study it. I'm going to teach you the simplest method of Bible study called the devotional Bible study method. Most people don't know that the first book I wrote it over 35 years ago, is called Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods. And in this, it's 12 ways to unlock God's Word, and I teach the chapter summary method, character quality method, thematic, biographical, topical, word study, book background, Bible survey, chapter analysis, book synthesis, verse-by-verse analysis, 12 different methods. But I'm going to teach you the first method out of this book, the devotional method, which is the simplest method. Anybody can do this. A child can do the devotional method. It doesn't require any tools. So you don't have to have any Bible dictionaries or Bible encyclopedias or know any language of thing. You can just do this method sitting in, while you're waiting for a doctor's appointment or, you know, on an airplane or at home. And we're also going to teach you 6 ways to meditate on Scripture. And there's an entire workbook that you're going to get in your small groups. Love the Word, Learn the Word, Live the Word. And it's quite a hefty book because it not only includes the studies and the outlines that I'm going to be teaching you, but it has other things in it like the 20 verses that every Christian ought to learn, and a Bible study on why we know the Bible is true, and small group resources. If you've never been in a small group, all kinds of helpful things on how to start a group and how to have a group and what to do in a small group, how to find the right Bible translation for you. It's full of really, really good material, and that's going to be in your small group. So if you're not in a small group, you're going to want to get in one before we start next week. And then finally, the fourth component is our weekly, easy-to-remember Bible verse. And together, each weekend, we're going to memorize one short Bible verse about the Bible itself, so that by the end of 40 days, you know six of the important Bible verses to do. And we're going to give you a little keychain, and each week a little key tag, that has that Bible verse on it so you can keep it with you in your pocket to work on it during the week. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in the Bible, by telling a story. And he says this: there was two guys who went out and they both built homes. And they built them on different foundations. One guy went out and built his house on solid rock, on that foundation. And the other guy went out and he built his house on sand. His foundation was sand. He said, then unexpected rogue winds came, the trials and the storms of life, and a tsunami hit those homes, and the winds came and the floods rose and the winds beat against it and the rains came down, and the house that was built on the shifting foundation of sand collapsed. But the house that was built on solid rock was able to withstand the storms of life. Jesus says in this, after saying this story, he says this in Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine, that's the Word of God, that's the Bible. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and we're going to teach you how to do that, is like that wise man who built his house on the rock. So this weekend, to start us off, before we get into 40 days, I want us to look at how do you do that? How do you build your life on the Bible? So that you're building on solid rock, so that when the storms and trials and difficulties of your life come, inevitably, that you'll be able to handle it. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in 2012, but I do guarantee you this: you will have storms in your life. Emotional storms, health storms, financial storms. If you are not built on solid rock, on the foundation of something that doesn't shift, you're gonna crumble. You can't build your life on the opinions of others. You can't build your life on popular opinion. You can't build your life on culture. You must build it on unchanging truth. And we'll look at that this week in just a moment.
Well, so how do we do that? How do we build our life on the Bible? You know, Rick Warren was talking about his 40 top preachers that he found, and I guess my phone call, I missed it when he was looking. And I want you to know, I had my glasses before he had his, and someone in the first service said, Chad, you look an awful lot like him, and I don't know about that, but I had my glasses first. But how do we do that? How do we build our life on the Bible? Well, there's a passage in the book of James that gives us some keys to building our life on the Bible. Have everything that we do, our decisions that we make, and how we handle stress and conflict in life, and when the difficult winds blow, how we can be built on that solid ground so that we stay strong and intact. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of James, which is in the New Testament, which is towards the back of your Bible, past the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you have Hebrews, and then you get into James after you go a little way. So James chapter 1. And we're going to be in verse 19 and looking at how we do this. Well, there's some keys here. The first way that we build our life on the Bible is very simply this: to receive God's word, I need to receive it with my ears. Receive it with my ears. Do we have that up there? Very good. And in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the author, Paul, writes, he says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. So we need to be able to hear the word of God. Let's read here, and starting in verse 19 of chapter 1 of the book of James. He says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Excuse me. "For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And so when we look at this, James says there's something about hearing the word. There's two key phrases that I want us to look at in this verse that we just read. And the first thing it says, be quick to listen. We need to be quick to listen, to hear God's word, because every time we hear God's word, we grow in our faith. Every time you come to church and hear God's word, your faith is being built up. Every time you listen to a Bible study on the radio, your faith is built up. Every time you come to a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class or women's Bible study or men's mentoring and you talk about the truths and you hear the word of God, your faith is built up. But we need to be quick to listen. I think it's interesting that he uses this word quick. It's really this idea of searching for the message that's out there. Because the reality is, if we don't make it a priority, there's a lot of other clutter that will get in the way. There are a lot of things that compete for your attention. There are a lot of people who want your attention and they want to communicate to you. And there's a lot of things that we can do. I know how dangerous it is that sometimes I get on the internet just to search like one thing. And the next thing I know, 2 hours later, I'm, looking at Amazon.com at the latest book that I want, and it has nothing to do. Because why? There's so many things out there that can get our attention from where it's supposed to be. We have television, we have the internet, we have all the things that we're involved in. He says, you need to make it a priority to search out the Word of God. To be quick to listen. And he says, be quick to listen. And then the other phrase I want us to look at is that we need to accept the Word. The word accept here in the Greek is actually a word that's used for hospitality. It's like when you're going to invite somebody over to your house. You're saying, I'm opening my doors because I want somebody to come into my home. And when we have a friend over, we take a lot of time in preparation, don't we? We want to make sure the house is clean. Matter of fact, my kids have noticed that whenever we invite people over, one of the things we do is we always vacuum and, clean the house a little bit. And so anytime we ask the kids to clean, you know what they say? Who's coming over? Right, because there's obviously a preparation that happens when you invite somebody over. So he says this. He says, accept the word. Accept. Open your heart up as if you're inviting a guest that you're happy to see. He says, accept the word that has been planted in you. The Bible oftentimes is referred to as a seed. The Sermon on the Mount, you have Jesus talking about the parable of the sower who sows the seed, and it falls on different types of soil, and different types of soil produce a different success level of that plant growing, if it grows at all. And so, ultimately, he's saying we want to be prepared and open to receive this word that God plants in us. The question is, how good is the soil of our heart? It didn't take me very long to realize that the success of planting something depends on the quality of the soil. Now, I'm not a farmer by any stretch of the imagination. The closest that I've come to farming is going and eating at the farm restaurant down on the square by the Chumley Theater. If you've ever been there, it's really good, but I like to go there. And that's as close as I come to farming. But I had a garden before. Matter of fact, at our old house in Ohio, we decided we wanted to do a garden. So the first year, I went out and I busted up the soil that was down there, and it was terrible soil. I mean, it was clay, it was rocky, but I did my best to sort of break it apart and make it accept the seed of some tomato plants and pepper plants. And so that first year, I planted that garden, and I worked hard to break that soil up and planted those seeds, and I watered it, and I gave it fertilizer, everything it needed to grow. But there was a problem. The plants did not grow. The soil was too rocky. It didn't have enough nutrients in it. It wasn't very good soil. And so our first year of doing it, we had a few tomatoes and a few peppers, but it was nothing spectacular. Well, the next year I decided, well, I'm going to do something a little differently. So what I did is I dug down. It wasn't a huge garden. It was about 6 by 6. I dug down 6 or 8 inches, and I removed in that 6 by 6 square 8 inches or 6 or 8 inches of that bad soil. I pulled up rocks and clay and all kinds of stuff. And then I had a truckload of good topsoil with peat moss in it and organic matter mixed in with it. And we compressed that soil down, and the kids and I in the backyard there. And we really worked hard to prepare that soil. We had a nice little bed that was raised up a little bit. And that year, we planted tomatoes and we planted peppers. And we watered them, and we planted it in the spring, and all summer those plants grew bigger and bigger and bigger. That tomato plant gave us tomatoes all year long, those tomato plants. And the peppers, we had jalapeno peppers that big, and they were just so hot and spicy. We wound up making salsa in the fall. We had salsa. We were giving it to everybody, and we still had enough salsa left over. I mean, this is a 6 by 6 garden. Had salsa left over for the rest of the year to got us through winter. And the reality is, the good soil produces the good fruit. When the Bible is planted in our heart, the level that it's going to take effect and have a transforming effect in our life is in direct correlation with how good our soil is, how ready our heart is to accept that word, to open up. Well, James gives us a few indicators of how we prepare our hearts for the seed. He says first, he says this, I must be quiet. He says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. I must be quiet. Now, any of you who have been around me for any amount of time, you know that I like to talk. And if you think what comes out of my mouth is a lot, you should see what actually goes in my head, because what actually comes out is a fraction of the noise and conversation that goes on in my head at any given time. And it's rather scary at times. But anyway, the problem is sometimes we're so busy talking. We're so busy giving our opinion. We're so busy giving our judgment. We're so busy talking about the way we think it should be and what we want out of life. We don't have time to really listen to God's Word. So we need to sometimes just shut up and let God speak to us. If we have all these things going around in our mind, there's no way that we can receive God's Word and receive it clearly, and barriers get built up. You know, when you have a guest over, you prepare your house, don't you? And we clean. And the same thing is true of when we receive God's Word. Sometimes we have to be quiet because we're not prepared to receive the Word if we have too much happening in our mind and we're not focused on receiving God's Word. An example. Maybe you started off this morning and it was not a good morning. The kids are driving you nuts. They're not doing what you asked them to do. You have a bunch of stuff happening after church. You have activities going on this evening. And you're talking, and you may have even gotten in an argument with your spouse on the way to church. That happens sometimes. And then you come in here with preoccupied with all these things going on in your mind and all these conversations. And you sit down and you say, oh, okay, I'm here. Okay, Lord, speak to me. The reality is, we're not going to be able to hear because we've not quieted our mind. We need to quiet our mind and be slow to speak. James also says, I must be slow to become angry. It's hard to listen to God's Word and have it planted in our heart if we're angry. The reality is, anytime you have a relationship with anybody, or you do anything that involves anybody but yourself, there is room for conflict. And sometimes we are at conflict with people, and we come in and we want to hear a word from God, but that conflict builds up a barrier, and here's why. Because my relationship with how I have a relationship with God ultimately immediately affects my relationship with other people. You see, sometimes we want to say, okay, Lord, I want my relationship with you to be right, but we're in conflict and we hold unforgiveness and we have bitterness and we have resentment towards other people. And he says, you're not going to be able to hear what I have to say because the two things, a relationship with God and relationship with people, are combined in one package. Jesus said so himself when he said, when he was asked the question, what's the most important law? And he said this, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if relationships are out of kilter with other people, it's hard to have that relationship in line with God. And so we need to be sure that we are working at resolving conflict, at forgiving people and seeking forgiveness to keep the unity of the Spirit. Unity is a common thread that we find throughout the New Testament of the success of growing Christians and growing churches. And if we do not have that unity, we will be blocked from being able to hear the Word of God. He tells us also to get rid of all moral filth. I need to get rid of the moral filth in my life. Well, how do we do that? How do we get rid of the moral filth? Because you know what? We have a hard time communicating with God and hearing His Word when we have sin in our life. Again, sin is one of those things that builds a barrier for us to be able to hear God's Word. And maybe you've come in here today and you think, oh, God can never love somebody like me, not after what I have done, not after the person I have been. And we think that God couldn't love us. So when God's Word is preached, we think, oh, that's for those other people, and that's not for me. Or sometimes we think, you know, oh, I don't think I can go to church, or I don't think I can open God's Word because I feel so guilty about my actions in my life or my habits in my life or an attitude that I have in my life. And so it hinders us from even wanting to be and expose ourselves to God's Word. Maybe we know there's a sin in our life that we're not yet ready to deal with, and we know that the moment we crack open the Bible, it's going to convict us of that sin, and so it puts up a barrier. That's why James says you need to get rid of the unrighteousness in your life. But how do you do that? How do you get rid of that unrighteousness? Well, there's a mechanism that God created, and it's called confession. You confess to God. You say, Lord, I have fallen short of these things. I've sinned in this area. I have this grudge against this person. I'm harboring bitterness, and it's tearing my life apart. I have this bad habit, or I've participated in this sin in such a way. Lord, I am so sorry. And when you confess that, He is faithful and will be willing to forgive us. And it's like it's never happened. And we can be free to receive His Word. He says, I also need to be clean. I need to get rid of that moral filth through confession, confessing through God, but also it may be necessary for you to confess to a trusted, mature, spiritually growing friend. You may have an issue that you're dealing with in your life that you need accountability for. Randy talked a little bit about that this morning with the men's mentoring, this idea of being transparent and being held accountable in your life. You see, if we want to receive God's Word, we need to be sure that we have our heart as fertile soil. We need to slow down and listen. We need to let go of the anger and resentment that we have in our life. And we need to get rid of all moral filth. And then James says, and humbly accept the Word planted in you. What does it mean to be humbly accept the Word? Well, there's two ways to listen to God's Word. One, you can listen to it and apply it to your life. Or two, you can say, well, I'll listen to it, but I'm going to pick and choose what I want to hear. I've been in ministry for over 20 years. I've been involved with several different churches, and it never ceases to amaze me how many people will leave a church because they didn't like the truth that was being preached. Oh, that preacher went too far on this message, so I'm finding another church. And I scratch my head, and I've had people tell me, I'm leaving the church because what you preach I didn't agree with. Well, let me tell you something. You need to humbly accept God's word. Now, I'm not saying that I'm infallible. Because there may be something that I say at some point which needs addressed. But instead of leaving the church and being upset, what you need to do is you need to come to me and say, Chad, I really don't agree with you on what you said. And we'll look at God's word. We'll talk about it. We'll study it. We'll pray about it. You know, it's funny. I've said this many times in many years in ministry. Not one person has ever come to me to say, I want to talk about this with you. Because we think, well, you know, whatever. I'm just going to leave. But more often the case is we're not humbly accepting the word of God. And if we don't, we will listen to a point that when we don't like what it says, we tune it out. Folks, I want to tell you, there are some things that I don't like that I preach. I mean, when I tell people, when I preach on Sunday mornings, the first person I preach to is myself. And there are things I'm like, do I have to preach this? Because I know it's what I struggle with. And so I try to receive it humbly. We need to try to receive God's word humbly that He has planted in you. How do you build your life on the Bible? You hear it with your ears. The second way you build your life on God's word is this. I read it with my eyes. Bottom line is this, is you cannot grow spiritually if you're not reading God's word. I have to read it with my eyes. James chapter 1 verse 22, let's pick up where we left off there. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The whole reason our church is doing this 40 days in the Word is so that we can be blessed. So that we can know God's Word and receive the blessings that God talks about. It says, and it's more than just a quick glance. You know, I know John 3:16, so that's pretty good. Or I'm going to read along with the minister, if he reads along. But he says this, there's a difference between taking a quick glance that you can easily forget and looking intently into something. Now, when you take a quick glance in the mirror, you may do that as you leave to go somewhere, right? Before you walk out the door, read. We check, make sure our hair's all right. Yep, yeah, see? Don't be mean to read. But we do. I mean, we make sure, you know, ladies, you make sure your lipstick's not on your teeth and all that other stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You take a quick glance and then you leave. But have you ever literally stared intently into a mirror? You know, when you get up close in that mirror and you look at that reflection, you can see every pore of your skin. You can see every blemish of your face. You can see how you look like your family, and you can see the crisp clearness of your eyes and the vivid color of your eyes. And you take note of those things. And here's the thing, when we look intently into God's Word, by reading it, it exposes us for who we really are. It exposes, one, the greatness that we're a child and we're created by God, and there's beauty in that. But it also exposes the negative parts, the blemishes, all the things that sometimes we try to hide. And he says, the person who is willing to read it with my eyes, and not just a casual glance, not just a cursory reading while the preacher reads it on Sunday, but really looks intently into it, that person will be blessed in what they do. See, I want blessings for this church. I want blessings for your family. I want blessings for your job and for your health and all these things that the Bible talks about. The key to obtaining those and to receiving those blessings really comes from reading God's Word. Through the 40 Days in the Word campaign, there will be several reading programs that you can participate in. one of that we just talked about today, and it's not part of the 40 days in the Word, but it's something that many of our teens and several of our adults, my wife and I are doing it, is reading through the Bible in 90 days. It's difficult, but you're reading. And the point is not to set up some legalistic program that you have to read so many verses in some day, one day to please God. The point is this, to get you in the habit of reading God's Word. To so that you're more than just casually looking at it and only opening your Bible on Sunday morning, but you're going throughout the week and reading it to yourself. And so it's very important that we do these and we get involved in this way. And so as we go through the 40 Days in the Word campaign, you'll have an opportunity to participate in that. So, if I'm going to build my life on God's Word, if I'm going to build it on the Bible to have that solid foundation that'll stand up to the storms, one, I need to receive it with my ears. The second is I need to read it with my eyes. The third thing is this, I need to research it with my hands and my mouth. Let me explain this one to you just a little bit. I research the Word of God with my hands and mouth. This is Bible study. This is researching the Bible. Is there a difference between simply reading the Bible and Bible study? Absolutely. Reading the Bible is reading the Bible, but studying the Bible is studying the Bible. And it's not a study unless you have a pencil and a pen and you're writing things down. In fact, there are two major components of Bible study. The first is this. The first is this, that you write it down and you ask yourself some questions. And we're going to get into this more later on in this message series of how we do this. But the second is that you talk about it with somebody else. You have spiritual discussions with other people. That's why small groups and Bible studies and Sunday school classes are so important. Because it's not just listening, but you're reading, you're writing things down, and then you're discussing it. You're using your hands to write, you're using your mouth to talk and to discuss. And that's why it's an important, the main component of the 40 Days in the Word campaign is being involved in a Bible study. Again, if you have not yet signed up for a group, I encourage you to participate in a group. You will get a little bit out of this message on Sunday mornings. You'll get a little bit out of it. But you will get much more if you go and you discuss and study God's Word in a group setting. A couple weeks ago when Kristen was speaking, she said that Sunday morning's like when we get the Cliff Notes for the Bible. And if you only take the test with your Cliff Notes, you're not going to pass the test or do very good because the Cliff Notes only hit the highlights. It's actually reading the text and getting into it where you get a lot more of the meat. And so I want to encourage you to do that. The book of John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus was talking to some of the Israelites, and they were very much into reading God's Word, maybe for the wrong reason. But Jesus said this, He says, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life." But He says this, He goes, "These are the very Scriptures that testify about Me." We're going to learn over the next several weeks how both the Old Testament and the New Testament, what we read points to who Jesus Christ is and His role in our life. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, writes this. He says, "Now the Berean Jews," Berea was a town in Greece. He says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true." You know, here they are, they go to their church service. They hear what the preacher has to say, and on their way out, they don't just say, "Hey, where are we going for lunch? Is it going to be Nuestro or El Ranchero this week, you know? Where are we heading? China Star? I don't know." You know, they took it, and they looked intently at it to examine it. That's what this is about. See, if we want to build our life on God's Word, I have to research it with my hands in my mouth. The fourth thing that we can do that James points out here to build our life on the Bible, on God's Word, is this. I need to review it and remember it with my mind. I need to review and remember with my mind. Let's go to verse 25 of James chapter 1. It says this, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting," he continues to do it, and then he's memorizing it, he doesn't forget, he says this, "He gives freedom and continues, he will be blessed in what he does." If you're going to be blessed, we need to review. We need to think about things. We need to meditate on things and what's in the Word. And we need to commit it to memory. That's why we'll have every week a verse that we memorize as a church together. See, if you're serious about spiritual growth, if you want to be strong and mature, if you want to become the man that God wants you to be, or if you want to become the woman that God wants you to be, or you want to be the young adult that God wants you to be, it's important that you develop a habit of memorizing Scripture by hiding the Word of God in your heart and by putting it in your mind. Well, why? Why would we do that? One thing that I have learned is because usually when I need a Bible, I don't have one there. When you're witnessing to a friend or a spiritual conversation comes up at work, oftentimes you're not going to have your Bible in your pocket to be able to look up some Scripture. You're going to need to know what it is. When you come across a situation and it's a tragedy and you need to comfort somebody, you may not have your Bible with you. You need to know what the Scriptures say. When you receive that unexpected phone call and someone pours out their soul to you about what they're dealing with in life, you may not have your Bible handy. You may not have time. Well, wait a second. I know you're really stressed out here. I remember one time we did this message. Give me 20 minutes. Let me get back in touch with you. That's not how that works. See, one of the job responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is this. It's to take from your mind the Scriptures that you have memorized along the way and to pull them out in the time when you need them. I cannot tell you how many times I've come across a situation that I wasn't expecting, and either I was witnessing to somebody or comforting somebody, or someone was going through a difficult time and I was trying to encourage them. That memory verses that I remember that I learned at church camp when I was in fifth grade have come to mind. Now, I may not always have the reference. I may not always have the exact verse right, but it's the truth that's hidden away in my mind that comes to light. And you can't have that. The Holy Spirit can't do its job if we don't have that in our mind. You say, well, Chad, I have a terrible memory. I can't remember anything. Let me tell you, as someone who grew up with a few learning disabilities, and one of them being the ability to retain things that you learn easily, I understand. But here's what I have also learned. I have learned that you remember what's important to you. Because there's some of you in here who can give me every statistic about your favorite sports team or your sports player. There's some of you here, like myself, you give me a title to any song that was put out between 1984 and 1989, and I can probably sing every exact lyric to you of what that song is about. Now, you all have this. Now, some of you, it wasn't the 80s. It was the 70s or the 60s or the 50s. Or maybe you remember Glenn Miller and before his plane went missing and all those other things. I don't know what your era is. But the truth of the matter is, the things we're interested in, we learn, don't we? Some of you are into numbers and stock markets. And you could tell me right off the top how the top 10 stocks are performing this week and what's going to be expected of them next week. The bottom line is, do we find value? Are we putting the value in God's Word? Is it important to us? I believe it has to be. You know, we are very fortunate that we live in a country that we have the freedom of having God's Word accessible to us. I have it written. I have it digital. I've got it on CD. I've got it on tape. We have it. But there are several places throughout this world where it's illegal to own a Bible. And when they get a Bible, they usually only get a very small portion of that Scripture. And when they get the portion of that Scripture, they memorize it. And then when they're done memorizing it, they give it to a friend, because there may be an underground church of several thousand people that may only have two or three small passages of the Bible available to them, because if they were ever caught with a Bible, they could be put in jail and in some places be put to death. Yeah, I think learning the Bible is important. I think it's important that we memorize Scripture. And your workbook that you'll receive as part of that of a group are the 20 scriptures that every Christian should memorize. There's many more than that. But we need to get in this habit of memorizing Scripture. See, if I'm going to build my life on the Bible, I've got to memorize it, and I need to review things with my mind and remember those things. Well, the final advice that James gives us here is I need to respond to God's Word with all my actions. I need to respond with my actions. James 1, chapter 22, we've already read it, but I'll look at it again. It says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. That's the difference between a believer and a follower. A follower does what the Bible says. Rick read from the book of Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. He said, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like that wise man who built his house on the rock." Are you building your house on the rock? Are you building your life on the rock? Are you being challenged to change the way that you view people and that you view life? And is the Bible being a transforming truth for you? If it's not, I encourage you to look back at these conditions of the heart and examine yourself and say, "Lord, help me cleanse myself. Help me prepare the soil of my heart to receive your word." And then make the commitment to receive God's word. We're going to have a time of invitation. And the first thing I want you to think about during this invitation time is this. If you have not already made a commitment to participating in the 40 Days in the Word group, whether that's the ladies' Bible study, the men's mentoring group, a Sunday school class, or a small group, you may have a group. I know one gentleman here who is doing it with some of his co-workers. He's getting the book and the DVD, and you can do it that way. Maybe you know two or three people, maybe some family members or some friends, and you want to do this with them. You can be the facilitator of a group. We'll get you a workbook for you and your friends, and we'll get you a DVD, and you can do this. You can do this around the lunch table at work, or at Starbucks on the after work or something, or before work. But our goal is, I want you to think during this time of invitation to make a commitment to participating in this campaign that allows you to draw nearer to God by understanding the role that His Word plays in our growth as believers. And second, maybe you've never had the opportunity, or you've never made that choice or decision to become a follower of Christ. Maybe you come and you sit and you listen to the messages every week, and each week you hear, or you're around somebody who shares with you, you grow in your faith a little bit, but you've never made that commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to say, "Lord, I want you in my life because I want the forgiveness of my sins and my past. I want those things to be taken care of so I can walk as a new creation in the fullness of that Jesus came to give us life today, but also with the promise of eternal life. That the day that I pass from my earthly dwelling to my eternal glory, I'll get to the pearly gates and Jesus will say, 'Hey, Chad, you really messed up a lot. But you know what? You let me cover your sins. Me cover your sins. He covered your sins. He covered